Thank God. You know, in the Bible, it talks about let the worshipers come forth, let the praisers come forth, let the people that play instruments come forth, let the preachers come forth. I mean, everybody has their position and their place in the kingdom of God. No one's higher or lower than anyone. You know, all of the same, called by God. See, that's the difference. That's the difference. That's the difference. See, when she was singing that song, anybody, probably thousands of people in the world could sing this song, you know, on stage somewhere. But it's the anointing of the Spirit of God that makes the difference.
Yes.
That is the difference.
Yes.
No matter what. No matter what. And so you can feel and sense the presence of the Lord. And so thank you, Ms. Barbara. I appreciate it again for being obedient and doing that. Amen. Amen. If you would, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 27. You turn to Matthew 27, and I'm just going to go to Isaiah 53, verse 9. Because I want to read a scripture there. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah 53. I'm going to read one scripture there to you, and then we'll go into Matthew. In Isaiah 53, verse 9, it says, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And what Isaiah is talking about is talking about Jesus Christ. And he said this, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he has done, and we know this, no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Now I want you to turn to, and you should already be there, in Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. I want you to look at this. In Matthew 27, starting with verse 57. It says, when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And we'll just stop there. And we have some other. But here we see Jesus had died. And really, you look at all things in the scriptures. And let me tell you, Jesus died a horrific death. It was bad. As far as the physical body. You know, the pain and the agony of the spear being put in his side and the crown of thorns upon his head and the nails in his hands and his feet, you know, and the stripes upon his back, 39, with a cat of nine tails. So that was nine. Every time one was thrown and hit at his back, that was nine nails. Or pieces of glass, or some sharp objects that would go into the back of our Lord and Savior. That would, and you see, you might say that's gross. It is. You know why? That's how sin is to God. Gross. It's bad. Our Father hates sin with a passion because He knows what it does to the human race and what it has done in bringing damnation, hell, agony, pain. It has split families. It has destroyed human beings. It has taken young men and young women and ended their lives so short. I mean, horrible, horrible. But I want to concentrate, and we're going to look at a few other scriptures, about Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph, you know, and it's an amazing thing, it's in all the synoptic gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's what they call it. They call that the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Every one of them have a portion of Joseph of Arimathea and the things that he did. This man was a follower of Christ. He was a Sanhedrin. That means he was in the religious sect of, like a judge. He sat on the court of, they had one of 24, and they had one of 72 in certain areas of the cities, in certain cities. And he was a high official, okay? But he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior because it says that he was a disciple of Jesus. Now, you might say, well, was he a secret disciple? I think he was. Because he didn't outwardly come out as, you know, saying, hey, I'm a follower of Christ. But you see, God had placed this man in a position. And God had worked on this man, Joseph of Arimathea's heart, so that he would be ready for the body of his son, Jesus Christ. The Father, the Holy Spirit worked upon this man for a mission for him to do. And that's just like our Father working on us. You know, sometimes we think, well, God, I have nothing to give you. And God is saying, you have more than what you think. Because he values human life. That's why he talks about, thou shalt not kill or murder. Thou shalt not murder, it should have been translated, someone. Because of a human being, it's been made in the likeness and the image of God. And so, now, I'm not saying self-protection or anything like that. There's nothing wrong. I mean, you got to protect yourself. You know that. But just to go out and kill a human being just because, that's why abortion is so wrong, people. No matter what, it's wrong. It kills a baby's life. Guys. That's why euthanasia is so wrong, because it kills an elderly person's life. That's why self-suicide is so wrong, because it kills what God has raised up and in the image of his son. It kills that person, that body, and it's not good. And just along the line of suicide, our phone, something happens a minute from now, we got it. You know, it's not like the old days. You have to wait, channel 3 or 10 would come on, and you might get it days later. Or, you know, a newspaper a week later. But, you know, the spirit of suicide has ravaged America and the whole world, really. Because the devil comes in and snatches life away from human beings. And God does not want that. You know, I was just reading on the news app that I have that there's a pastor that killed himself. Of all the states of California, you know, from California. The head pastor, but one was one of the pastors. You know the amazing things of it, the next day, I mean, he has a young wife, two young kids. That day that he killed himself, and he never said how, it says that he went and he did a funeral that day for someone that had committed suicide. And had a funeral, and then went home that day because of the bombardment of the enemy coming against the mind and the heart of an individual. But let me tell you this, our God is the giver of life. And let me tell you, put your faith and trust in Christ, and you tell those things to go away from your minds and your bodies, and you say, Lord, I'm trusting you. And let me tell you, the Holy Spirit will move like never before, people. Don't ever entertain those things. Ever. 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 Let me tell you, that hurts the families, that hurts the churches, that hurts children. Don't let it. You might say, well, Pastor, what do I do? Go before God. Let me tell you, call me if you need to. I'll pray with you. Call somebody in this church. Let me tell you, God is a giver of life, and he wants to give you life more abundantly. Yeah. There's so much for you that he has, and the devil's trying to snatch you out. Don't let him snatch you out. Let God resurrect those things on the inside of us and to change those areas that need to be changed by the power and the presence of Almighty God. See, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities and powers in high places that come against the body of Christ, that comes against the church of God. But let me tell you, Otis, we won.
Come on.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah.
We won, people.
Hallelujah.
And don't get isolated. Don't get isolated. Get around some people that know God. The anointing of God will rub off. The presence of Almighty God. See, what we had this morning is priceless. Probably could have said amen, let's go home. We had church. But it says that people are saved and delivered under the preaching of the gospel of his word. My God. Joseph of Arimathea, a man who, like I said, was a Sanhedrin. He was in that upper echelon, but he gave his heart to the Lord. And yes, he was basically, if you want to say, a little secretive about his devotion to Jesus. But God had raised that. Remember this, God has your number, and he's going to raise you up to do what he needs you to do, okay? Just listen to the Spirit of the Lord. Listen to the Word of God. Get with God and pray and say, Lord, there's no retirement in the kingdom of God. What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to invite to church? There's many people out there that are just waiting for an invitation to church. This Joseph Arimathea. When Jesus was out, he didn't talk about him being around anywhere else, but I bet you he was somewhere. If something's happening to my brother or my sister in Christ or family, you're going to be around somewhere else.
Yeah.
Maybe you can't do much because of all the scenario, but you're going to be there somehow, some way. He was around that place. Because
yeah.
It says when Jesus died, there was an urgency after his death to get him down and in that tomb or in a place, a sepulchre, because the Sabbath celebration, if they want to call it, was coming. And no one could be on a cross. Everyone rested. Okay? And so here he went to Pilate, and that's when his body, he gave it to him and said, you know, it says that Joseph of Arimathea went with agony of heart. It says, I need his body, and they gave it to him. The man had money. He was a very rich man. God knew who to get. Because he had a sepulcher, a tomb that had been carved out of a rock. I mean, that's some painstaking time and money to make a big hole on the inside. And they had a place, it says, where Jesus died, where he was laying down, and they had angels that sat there. So this wasn't no little thing that just they did in one day. But Joseph Arimathea went and got his body. And it says that they took the body of our Lord and Savior. And it says that Joseph of Arimathea got the best linen for Jesus. He gave him his best. People, give God your best. Don't give him your leftover stuff. I mean, leftovers are good to eat. For a certain amount of time. You know, it's just like gumbo. You know, it's better to put it in the freezer and take it out of you. You know, it's like you just, something happens to the taste of it, you know. But give God your best. Don't give him your leftover money. Ooh. Don't give him your leftover whatever down with it. Give him your best. Say, Lord, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to follow the kingdom of God. You don't know how it has blessed me. When we moved into this building, y'all, you see what's up there? That was the whole thing. There was no walls. There was nothing but concrete, two fans,
yeah,
a pole,
and a floor.
But the Lord opened it up for us. There was an old building here. This lady tore it. They had it torn down. She put a new, brand new building. And I said, Lord, we're going to take it. Thank you, Lord. God, I mean, it opened up for us. We came in here and I said, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen, but you have to do something. I didn't have to go put an ad in the paper looking for somebody to come work on this building. I didn't have to go look down the road. I didn't, none of that stuff. You see, God brings about in his own perfect time the things you need. You know, and God brought, I mean, somebody just arrived at my house, a couple arrived at my house and said, look, the Lord told us we need to construct this thing. I said, thank you, Lord. See how God is? He's a great God. We're buying that other building. I know you thank you. Number one, for your money. Number two, that we don't have to borrow. Even when you don't have to borrow, it takes a long time to buy a building. That's amazing. It's not like a car. You can go in one day and out, driving it away. Almost, you know, it's like, gosh, it takes a while, you know. But to have people come and say, look, I'm going to work on this bill. I'm going to give my time here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to give towards this. I mean, that's amazing to me. That I don't have to come up here to plead, which I never do, and beg for something. No, God comes in and makes a way where there seems to be no way. Yeah. God raised up this man, Joseph of Arimathea, for the burial of our Lord and Savior, a tomb that had never been used before. Because you see, in that tomb, our God would rise from the grave and would set at liberty all the human beings from the past, the present, and the future that know God. Mm. And it said they put it in there, they rolled the stone. But how great of a man this man was. I mean, I want to meet him when I get to heaven. I want the Lord to show me who this man is. And I want to tell him thank you. That he took in my Lord, but God chose him. Took him in. Took him down there, off that cross. Wrapped him in a fine linen. I mean, I know this God put the best. You know, when people come to visit your home, you know, if you know they're coming, they just don't show up. If you kind of clean up and you want, or if you're going to cook a meal for somebody, you know, you try to do the best, but you know how to cook. You know, it's like, I think they like this, you know, or this is what I can cook. You do your best, which that's great. We need to do our best, especially with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Definitely. Joseph of Arimathea did his best and wrapped him up in that fine. And they put it in there, in a tomb that was supposed to be for him. But he gave it. Can you imagine? I don't know if Joseph of Arimathea did some of the work himself, but let's just say he did. It doesn't say in Scripture. So you can't say I'm wrong or right. Hold on. You know. But let's say he worked on it a little bit. Can you imagine every time he'd take off, you know, some of the rocks, he'd say, man, this is for when I die. This is for when I die. You know, or passing by, you know, working on it, you know, he'd say, they're working for me. Because when I die, I'll be in that tomb. As far as, you know, the burial of the body. Not realizing that it would be used for a greater cause. Sometimes we don't realize that what we have will be used for a greater cause than ever before. See, God has so many things in us that he's trying to bring back are raised up that he has placed in us since we were not born again. I want you to turn, if you would, to Matthew 26. Look at verse 6. Matthew 26, verse 6. This is a famous story. I hate to say story because this truly happened, but it says this in verse 6. It says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. When his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why do you trouble the woman? For she has wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say to you, whatsoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, he told for a memorial of her." Here we see. You might say, "Well, Pastor, are you kind of going to know backwards?" No, I want to share something with you. Mary of Bethany was in the house of Simon the leper. And Jesus came and sat to eat. I mean, you know, we do that often. We eat often, huh? Sometimes a little too much, but that's okay, you know. I mean, you know, look, who can stop at one bowl of elbow? You know, we try to get the little medium size and we just go for two, you know. It doesn't look as bad as a big one full, you know. So we just got to go for more, you know. Some things are just, I mean, who can stop at one plate of rice and gravy? My God. You know, you try to, yeah, but that's the exception. Okay. Thank you, she said. We need to be reasonable with what we eat, you know. But here we see Jesus sat there, and all the disciples were there. It says, Mary of Bethany. And she had alabaster box that had very precious perfume in it and ointment in it. The value in some of the Gospels with the Bible, it says the value was basically between $12,000 and $10,000. That was the value of it. So this was very precious to her. I mean, this was something she probably had for years and years of ointment that she kept. Maybe it was an inheritance, you know. Maybe it was an inheritance that came down from her father, her mother, or whatever, you know, down from the line. So we don't know. We don't know how she got it, or she would buy it and said she wanted it for her own funeral. We don't know. Whatever the scenario is, she had it. And it was very precious to her. But she gave it to a woman. People, the things that we have could be, you know, our homes, our money, our children, our spouses, our homes. I mean, every one of us here has a home, you know, we just great things. Always remember, since you gave your life and I gave my life to the Lord, we're in ownership of it, but it's His. It's His. It's His. And everything we have in our homes, from the 3 and 4 televisions to all of the stuff, and there's nothing wrong with stuff, just so it doesn't have a hold in your heart. So it doesn't have a hold to it. But she had something very precious. And they say it was worth between 12 and 10,000. Some of the gospel says 10, some say 12, so whatever. It's expensive. She saw Jesus sitting there. And Mary went up to Jesus. And she took the flask of ointment, ointment perfume, broke it. And she started pouring it. It says in Scripture that the reason she did that was that she believed that he was the Savior and that he would rise from the grave. Did you notice when I talked about Joseph of Arimathea that they didn't really put on him ointment? They covered him in fine linen. Where was the perfume in there? The ointment. Which usually goes on a body when they die. But Mary, under the unction and power of the Holy Spirit, anointed Jesus before his burial, knowing in her heart that he would rise from the grave and defeat the enemy on our behalf. Praise God! Hallelujah! Huh?
Yeah.
She believed, my Lord. And it was a form of worship also. To God, of whom she believed he was. Praise God. Giving of herself for someone. We need to give all that we have to our God. You might say, well, how do I do that? Just say, Lord, I asked you into my life. But Father, you see everything in me. I give you mine. You know that's what, that whole story about the Indian chief? Anybody ever heard that story? I'm sure you know the Indian chief, you know. He wanted to give God everything. He gave, so he gave him his staff one time. God said, that's good, but it's not enough. The next time he comes, he brings in his horse, and he gives him his horse. And God said, that's not enough. And the last time he comes in, draws a circle on the floor, and steps in and says, I give you me. See, that's what God wants. And I know sometimes we might get a little afraid, because this is the first thing we think. Well, if I step in that circle, he's going to call me to go to Africa, and I don't want to go. You know, or he's going to call me to Timbuktu here, and I don't want to do it. You know, I don't want to go there. Look, God will bring you and place you where he wants you to be effective in the kingdom of God. That little lady gave all she had. That's a lot of money. That's what it was worth at that time. In our, well, with our currency money at that time. Where that amount of money. Give God. Stand upon the word that is more of a sanctuary. Stand upon his word and let God be God. Let God be God. Give him everything you have. And let me tell you, you might turn around one day and say, my Lord, look what the Lord has done. And that old song, look what the Lord has done. My Lord. And we can turn around and say, oh, we need to be touching our minds. He healed our bodies, he touched our minds. Was the other part of it? Whatever it is. What is it?
He saved me just in time.
Oh, yeah, he saved me just in time. That's right. Amen. Yeah, sing it. Amen. What a God we serve. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things God's doing in our church. And you know, Joanne and I pray for you guys every night. I mean, we pray for our church like God would just do and have his will. Let me tell you, you know, I want God to be lifted up in this place. I want people to walk in this place and say, oh, God is in this place. And God is in this place. That the word of truth goes forth. The power of the anointing of the presence of God is in this church. that you are filled with the Spirit of God. We're still a church that believes in the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior. We're still a church that believes that you have to be born again to get into heaven. We're still a church that believes you need to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Not to get to heaven, but to have the power and the presence of Almighty God. We still believe in speaking in tongues. I say, well, Pastor, I'm not filled. You need to get filled. You need to go to God and say, Lord, fill me with this Holy Spirit. Read in Acts how God came upon the church and filled them with the Spirit of God. Speaking in tongues is still for today. It's the power. You know, most churches not half of the people speak in tongues. I mean, I'm talking about Pentecostal churches. I'm talking about, you know, when I say Pentecostal, I don't mean religion Pentecostal. I mean Pentecostal churches. That involves non-denominational churches. That involves Assembly of God, Foursquare. I mean, all these prominent churches, that half of the people that those churches do not speak in tongues. Is that a Pentecostal church? What's a majority over 50? And the reason is because the pastors aren't preaching. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to get with God. Come talk to me. Come on, people. We'll pray. We'll ask God to fill you. It's a promise he's given to the church. It's power and authority. You know, it's something for you. It's a prayer language between you and God. You know, the anointing and the presence of God that he's given to the church. Amen. We need it. We need it. We need it. Let's be like Joseph of Arimathea and give God everything. Let's be like Mary of Bethany, and give God everything that we have. And let the Spirit of God move upon us. The Spirit of the Lord just told me the heavens will be open to us. I'm going to share with you. I'm telling you, things are happening. And let me tell you, we'll stand back and people say, well, what did y'all do? What kind of this? No program. You get on your knees and you start praying to God and saying, God, what do you want? You see, it says, you know, the scripture says, unless the Lord builds the house, our labor is in vain. Amen. That means he does not accept it. Oh, my God. Let me tell you, there may be a lot of churches today that God is not accepting their praise, God is not accepting their worship, because it's a stench in the nostrils of God, because they have built it and not God Almighty. And you might say, what would they need to do? Just get on your knees. Ask God for forgiveness. He's a merciful God. Get things right with him. Look, honestly, I could pack this church every Sunday and have more than one service if I wanted to. There's things you could do, but I know are not. It's not of God. That wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be right. So what we got to do, we pray and we seek God. And we ask for the anointing and the presence of Almighty God. And we see God move upon a people. You know, move upon a people. Look, this week, don't be afraid to invite people to church. Invite them to church. Hey, amen. We'd like to see you in church. Come on, I'll pick you up. Hey, you never know what can happen. You never know what can happen in their hearts and minds. Give God everything. Lay it all on the line. And let me tell you, you know, we look at Job, and it's only 11 o'clock. That's all. I know your stomach is probably telling you differently. Don't worry about it. That's the wrong clock. He passed it all on. Job, I know. Here, this man. God had faith and trust him that he would not deny. And even though he's racked with sores, even though his 10 children have died, even though he's lost all his wealth, even though he had 3 friends that came and told all kind of evil, he still stood, sat there in ashes, looking to God. God put that in His Word for us. People, just because a little word is said, or just because we're, don't look at that. You keep your eyes upon the Lord. We're all human beings. We're all human beings, and yes, we're cut to the heart sometimes, or maybe what somebody might say or do. But you always forgive. That doesn't mean you have to be best friends, but you forgive. But just like Job, he kept his faith in Christ. Just like us, we need to keep our faith in Him, no matter what we go through. Say, Lord, you're a fair God. I put my faith and trust in you. And we stand upon His word, like the song. Stand up. Praise God. Why don't you stay here, please? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, today. As every head is bowed, every eye closed, please, if you don't mind. I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Everybody that's watching by Facebook, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you would like to accept Him today, would you please raise your hand? Just want to make sure before we dismiss. Looks like everyone here has accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but let's pray because we have people watching, okay? Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as the Lord of my life. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead. And you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. Lead me and guide me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Look, guys, we're closing this today. And look, guys, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you. We love you. And we pray you have a great week this week. Amen. As always, closes this in prayer. Thank you.
Father, we want to thank you for today, Lord. We want to thank you for your word, Lord. We want to thank you for the protection you're going to give us as we go out on the highways and byways so we can come back next week and hear your word again, Lord. Keep us and guide us through this wicked world, Lord. We pray this in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen.